Would to 1 Chronicles in your Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. Find that place if you would please, a place you don't often turn to. And many times you're reading through your Old Testament, maybe at the beginning of the year, you're working your way through and you finally get to 1 Chronicles and you get to a listing about 500 names. And this one begat that one and on it goes and you sort of begin to just sort of speed up. Because you can barely pronounce them, and not sure if we did pronounce them, it'd be the right way to pronounce it anyway, and doesn't seem like it makes much sense, but I can tell you every word of God is important, and they're a purpose, there's a reason why they're there. But it's in the midst of those names that were introduced to a man that had an ordinary life. He did have an ordinary life, but God blesses him with an extraordinary life. I believe that God wants you and I to have experience extraordinary living. I believe God wants to move us from ordinary to extraordinary. And the man we're going to meet is a man by the name of Jabez. Look, if you would, 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, the words will be on the screen. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Aren't you glad that God is a prayer answer God? And this man prayed a great prayer, and he experienced and received from God great answers. It was a prayer that led him to extraordinary living. The Bible said that he was more honorable than his brethren. That word honorable means to come to honor. It means to be promoted to honor. That God honored him or lifted him above his brethren. Now from a purely human perspective, there's no reason for Jabez to have lived such an extraordinary life. His very name meant sorrowful. Look in verse number 9, the latter part. And his mother called his name Jabez. The name Jabez meaning sorrow or pain. Sorrowful. Saying, because I bear him with sorrow. It may have been that he was born with some physical handicap, some physical limitation, that in that day life was totally stacked against him. As a matter of fact, in his mother's mind that he would have a life ahead of him of difficulty, of burden, of sorrow, of pain, then it would be anything but extraordinary. But you're going to find that Jabez, instead of giving in to his circumstances, he turned to the Lord. Look at verse number 10, the first part. The Bible said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now that word call is an interesting word. It means to turn in a particular direction. Hey, Jabez knew there wasn't anything he could do about his life. There wasn't anything he could do about the limitation of his life, the difficulty of his life, the burden of his life. There was nothing personally that Jabez could do to make any change in his life, but he recognized there was one who was. Aren't you glad that we have a life-changing God? Can I tell you, God can change your life, your marriage, your family, your future. God is in the life-changing business. And God's going to take a man who everything stacked against him, seeming like he would live less than an ordinary life, but God would give him an extraordinary life. He would be promoted. He would be lifted. He would be given a place of honor among his brethren. You see, Jabez refused to settle for an ordinary life. He wasn't content to live a life of mediocrity. He wanted to live life on a higher plane. You know what? I'm afraid that many times as Christians, we get content with mediocrity. We get content with middle of the road. We get in ruts. And then we wonder why we're not having a blessed life. And why we're not having a life that is above on a different plane. And many times the problem's not God. It's us. Jabez wanted great and mighty things from God. And when you notice in the latter part of verse 10, the Bible says that God gave him some great things. Look what the Bible says, latter part of verse 10. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, Jabez is more known for what he prayed than what he did. God doesn't tell us what he did, but he tells us what he prayed. You see, I might look at what Jabez did and say, well, I can't do that. Well, there's no way I can accomplish that. There's no way that I can achieve that in my life. We may look at that and think that that would leave us out. But instead, God recorded His prayer because it's a prayer that I can pray and you can pray. It's a prayer that anybody that is Christ can pray. Notice, if you would please, there were four requests that Jabez made, because God wants to take your life, your marriage, your ministry in this local church or whatever it is God's called you to, your future, and make it extraordinary. Notice what he prayed and what he requested. Number one, he wanted God to bless him. He said, God, that you would, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. The second thing he prayed, he said, God, I want you to enlarge my coast. Notice what he said, verse number 10. He said, and enlarge my coast. The third thing he's going to request of God is that his hand would be upon him. Notice what he says, middle part of verse number 10. He said, and that thine hand might be with me. And then the last thing he said, God, I know that all of the first three are predicated on this last one, because you can't bless a sinful man. Notice what he said, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. He said, God, I want you to keep me from evil. I believe it's a prayer that all of us would do well to make our prayer. And this morning, we're going to look at the first of Jabez's petitions. Last week, we met Mr. Jabez. This week, we're going to be looking at the first of the petitions, of these prayer requests, and then over the next several weeks, we're going to look in detail at the other three. Notice what he says again in verse number 10, the first request. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I like that. He said, God, I want you to pour me out a blessing. You know what? Every one of us today want God to bless our lives. I don't know about you. If we know anything about God, if we know anything about the Bible, if we know anything about life, we want God's blessing upon my life. I want His blessing upon my life, my ministry, my family, my marriage. I want God's blessing. Listen, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want His blessing? Is that something that you desire in your life? Listen, it's what Jabez wanted, and God's going to grant him that request. He's saying, God, pour me out a blessing. Now, you and I need to understand what a blessing is. Listen, that word bless, we use it so often. Well, somebody sneezes, we'll bless you. You know? Or somebody going through a difficult time, we'll bless your heart. Or sometimes it's sarcasm, well, bless your little heart. You know? And we use that word bless all the time. We talk about wanting God to bless this person and bless that person. And God, will you bless the world? But what does it mean when I say, God, I want you to bless me? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Notice, if you would, first of all, the request for a blessing. The request for a blessing. You see, R.A. Torrey said this in his book on prayer. He said prayer can do today as much as it ever could. Prayer can do anything God can do. He said, for the arm of God responds to the torch of prayer. He said, all the infinite resources of God are at the command of prayer. Prayer is the key that opens wide the inexhaustible storehouses of divine grace and power. He asks, it shall be given you, cries our Heavenly Father, as He swings open the doors of His divine treasure's house. There is only one limit, R.A. Torrey says, to what prayer can do, and that is what God can do. And since God can do the impossible and God can do anything, friend, I'm here to tell you, prayer can do anything. Amen? And Jabez understood what God could do in his life, and he prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now, the word bless means to bestow favor. It means to cause to prosper. It was used in the scriptures of men blessing God. Psalm 103, verse number 1, the Bible said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And what is it's bestowing favor? What it's saying is, God, I love you. God, I want to bless you. I want to speak well of you. I want to magnify you and lift you up. All that men would bless the Lord, the Bible says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Listen, when we come into the house of God to worship, can I tell you, one of the things we need to be doing is blessing the name of our God. We need to be speaking of it with favor. We need to be lifting Him up and singing His songs from the heart and worshiping Him in a real and meaningful way. And can I tell you something? When you bless God, He's going to bless you. You know, any time I come to the house of God with the desire that I want His blessing on my life, in turn, guess what? Or I come here and I bless Him and I worship Him, I go away getting a blessing from Him. But then the second thing is it's used of men blessing other men. Genesis 47:7. Jacob, as an aged man, went down into Egypt. That was God's plan for because of Joseph making the way. He goes down to Egypt. He meets Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is just taken with Jacob and his age and recognizing him. And of course, Pharaoh has been introduced to the God of heaven through Joseph and all that he's done for Egypt during that time to save them from famine. And he recognizes the patriarchal place of Jacob. And he says to Jacob, he said, I want you to bless me. And the Bible said in Genesis 47:7, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You know what he was doing? He was saying, listen, I want God's favor on your life, on your kingdom, on you. He blessed him. He spoke well of him. He prayed for him. No doubt he encouraged him. Listen, we ought to be blessing those around us by encouraging them, asking God's favor upon their lives, God working in their families. Listen, we ought to be a blessing to those around us. Amen? But then the third way that it's used in the Bible is God blessing men. That's how it's used right here in our text. Jabez was a man who wanted to be blessed of God. But listen, he said, God, I don't want you to bless me. He said, I don't want to just get a blessing. He said, God, I want you to supersize it. Now you know what? One of my things that I used to like to do when I went to McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King or anywhere I went, and I began to order, guess what I wanted? I wanted to supersize. Supersize the French fry. Supersize the drink. You know, and some of you guys, you go ahead and supersize the Whopper and you get the double Whopper. You know, I know how that goes. And so you want to supersize. That word indeed is saying, God, I want a supersized blessing. It's like writing it out in all capital letters. He's saying, God, I want your blessing. He said, I want everything you have for me. You know Paul said that? He said, I want to be apprehended for that which I'm apprehended of Christ. Now, you know what many of you did yesterday? You watched the AFC playoff game while my team's and the NFC sitting at home watching everybody else play. But anyway, you're at home watching that. And what happens is some quarterback's going to throw a pass. And when he throws that pass and the receiver catches that pass, all right, he apprehends it. There's another guy called a safety or a cornerback that he's chasing. He's pursuing him. You know what he's going to do? He's going to apprehend him. All right? He's going to grab hold of and take down. All right? And here's what that word apprehend. When Paul said, I want to apprehend that which I've been apprehended of Christ. See, Paul said, Lord, you've apprehended me. He said, God, you've made me your own. You saved me. You changed me. You made me different. And God, you have something for me. And I want to apprehend that. I want everything. I don't want to miss out on anything. I want to pursue everything you have for me. Let me ask you something. Do you want what everything that God has for your life? Are you willing to pursue? Listen, he said, I'm pursuing. God, I want to take hold of everything that you have for me. I don't want to miss anything. Friend, can I tell you, I don't want to miss out on one blessing God has for my life. And that's exactly what Jabez is saying. Now, if you want God to bless your life, it's important to understand exactly what he's asking. It's been suggested that Jabez was a Kenite, and therefore a descendant of the sons of Rechab. The Rechabites were a special family in Israel. During the revival under Elijah and Elisha, they made a special, in Israel, they made a special vow. That their families from that day forward would live a simple life of devotion to God. They wouldn't build houses, they'd live in tents. They weren't going to plant vineyards, and they weren't going to drink any intoxicating beverages. They had determined they were going to come out and live a simple life devoted to God that it might preserve the moral and spiritual welfare of their family. That's what Jonadab, who was a Rechabite, that's what he desired. And here's what you're going to find interesting. They made that decision in the days of Elijah and Elisha. When you travel all the way to the book of Jeremiah chapter 35, you meet them again. All right? Jeremiah, 250 years later, God calls into remembrance this family, and he lets them be an example to the rest of Israel, because 250 years after that decision was made, that family was still serving God. You know what? If Lord Terry, I sure would pray that my family, 250 years from now, my descendants are serving God. What about you? Let me tell you what that says to me, Mom and Dad. That says to me that the decisions I make today will affect my posterity tomorrow and on down the line as far as it goes till the Lord comes. That means I need to be making right decisions spiritually in my life right now. For myself, my marriage, my family, my children, I need to be choosing the things of God. I need to be getting my life right, priority-wise, spiritually, so that the decisions I make today affects my children and children's children and children's children's children on down the line, so they're continuing to have God's blessing on their lives, and thus my family's being blessed. Now, you know what? Not only can I have a positive impact on my family and positively affect their future, but we can make the wrong decisions, have the wrong priorities, and we can affect them in a different way. And so, some believe that Jabez was a part of that family. Now, if that's true, it lets us know that in keeping with the vows of his family, Jabez wasn't asking God for success, prosperity, health, or wealth. It wasn't a prayer for more things, bigger things, or better things. It was a prayer for God's best for his life. He said, God, I want Your favor. I want Your pleasure. I want Your honor upon my life. Jabez didn't want more of gold. He wanted more of God. He wanted God to prosper him spiritually so that he could experience everything that God had for him. So in that prayer, when he said, God, that You would bless me, he's wanted more of the person of God. He's saying, God, I want more of You. I want to know You better. I want to walk with You. I want my life to honor You. I want Your favor upon me. God, I want You to be able to bless my life. And I don't want just a blessing. I want a supersized blessing in my life. It reminds me of echoes the prayer of the Apostle Paul, or actually his prayer echoed that. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 3:10. He said that I may know Him. May I remind you that Christianity is not a code. It's not a code of conduct. It's not a creed that I just adhere to and say, okay, I believe that. It's not a cause I attach myself to. No, Christianity is Christ Himself. Bible Christianity is not just something you believe. Now, what I mean by that, it involves belief, but it's not just a set of beliefs that I have. You know, there's a lot of people, we hear this all the time, well, they're a person of faith. Well, what kind of faith? What are they believing in? See, your faith is only as good as the object it's in. You can have all the faith in the world, but if it's in the wrong thing or the wrong person, it's not benefiting you at all. So just because they say on the news or they say on the TV program or they say, well, I'm a person of faith or they're a person of faith, that's meaningless if you don't have the right kind of faith and the right object. Can I tell you that Bible Christianity is not a matter of something I just believe for, and it's someone I receive. It is a personal relationship of the living Lord. It is coming to know Christ in a real way of knowing that He died for my sins. He was buried. He rose again. He died to rescue me from a place called hell, to change my life, to give me a different direction, to make me different. Friend, listen, the day you got saved, you're on the path to extraordinary living. And friend, listen today. If you trust Christ as Savior, you're on the pathway to extraordinary living. It is a life. Listen, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's eternal life in the by and by, abundant life, extraordinary life in the here and now. So Paul come to know him as a man there on the road to Damascus. And now 30 years later, when he writes the book of Philippians, he says this. He said, I want to know Him better. That's what he says, that I may know Him. You're never going to know all there is to know about the Lord in one church service, or in one time reading the Bible, or just a few times doing some Bible study. Oh, no. It is a lifetime journeying with the Lord. That word know means to know by experience. Now, see, I knew my wife before I married her. Okay? Well, I knew her name anyway. Okay? I knew her name. And knew where she come from, and we had courted a little while, and realized that we loved each other, we wanted to get married, and all of those kind of things. But I can say that I know her better today, 26, I'm 26, right? Okay, she's doing that, I'm good, safe. 26 years, I was just making sure, because it was 25 last year, so that's 26 this year. So I know her better now, 26 years later, than I knew her that day when I first met her and we were first married. I know her better. I know her more intimately. I know we're closer in our relationship. Why? Because we've grown together. We've known each other through these many years. It's to know by experience. You know, there's the danger of two strangers living in the same home. If you don't communicate, you don't grow together, you're going to grow apart. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a fear is that some of God's people, instead of growing with the Lord, you've been growing away from the Lord. He can become a stranger to you. And so that know means to speaks of a growing knowledge. It's the know of, not the know of intellect, but the know of intimacy. And like Paul, Jabez wanted to know God better. He wanted to know Him more personally and more intimately. He said, God, I want more of You. Because listen, when you have more of God, you've got more of God's blessing on your life. Here's the second thing I believe that word blessed me. Not only did he want more of the person of God, he wanted more of the pleasure of God. Now, I'm not talking about pleasures. I'm talking about God's pleasure on his life. Can I tell you, nothing pleased me more as a child growing up than to my dad to say, you did good, son. I think that done something for me. I liked that. Listen, when I played ball, when I played baseball, or attempted to play baseball as a kid, or play football as a kid, or whatever, or I was on the court, my dad came, and you know what? He wasn't there for everybody else as a kid, he was there for me. And you know what? I didn't really care about what he thought about what everybody else did, but I cared about what he thought about how I did. You follow me? And I wanted his pleasure. I wanted him after that game to say, boy, you played good today, son. You played good today. That his pleasure, to please him. And you know what? Since I've been saved, you know what the desire of my heart is? It's to have God's pleasure on my life. It's to live in such a manner that my life is pleasing to the God of heaven. Listen to Colossians 1:10. Jot that down in your notes. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Now, listen to this. I'm not worthy of the Lord and you're not worthy of the Lord. Okay? In ourselves, we're not worthy. That word worthy, listen, we're made worthy. But that word worthy has nothing to do with the worthiness or the worth of the person. You say, preacher, I don't have any value. Yes, you do. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, you've got value because God loves you. And Jesus died for you and He wants you to belong to Him. Every human being has value because Jesus died for every human being. So you've got value today. But this walk worthy means to walk in such a manner that it's pleasing to the Lord, it's fitting of the name Christian. See, when you got saved, God gave you His name. And I need to live in such a manner that I'm reflecting His name in a way that's pleasing to Him. I need to live worthy. I need a life that's befitting that of a child of God. And here's what that verse goes on to say. That you might walk worthy unto the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That sounds just exactly what I've been talking about. Increasing in the knowledge of God, fruitful in every good work, that I might walk worthy unto all pleasing. That God might be pleased with every area and every aspect of my life. So that means I need to stop asking the question, does this please me? I need to stop asking the question, is this decision or what I'm doing or how I'm living pleasing me? Does it make me happy? Friend, can I tell you that? If you want God's blessing, that's not the question to ask. What you need to start asking is it pleasing to Him? Is my actions, my attitude, my demeanor, how I look, how I walk, how I talk, how I act, how I live my life, is it pleasing to Him? Because friend, if you want His blessing, it needs to please Him and not me or not you. Having the favor of God upon your life and your future. Upon your marriage and your family. Your work and your leisure. You know what? My leisure time ought to be pleasing to the Lord. You know, I found that vacation time, a lot of people just let everything go. And they don't think about anything about their testimony, their lifestyle, or whatever. I mean, I've heard of people, and I pray nobody here that I've ever heard of, but I've heard of it. I've seen it on Facebook of people going on vacation and pictures on their Facebook. I don't see it because I don't look at it, but look on it. But Facebook, or I've heard of different places, social media, and here they are doing things on vacation they'd never dream of doing through the week in their own hometown. God ain't pleased with it. That's not walking worthy of the Lord. I ought to be the same everywhere I go. My worship and service. I want God's favor upon my worship. Do you know that I believe that how I'm blessed at church is commensurate with how I am at church? I mean, if I come with a wrong spirit and a wrong attitude and it's for one of those things, bless me if you can, then probably I'm going to go away not getting blessed. I mean, that's the reality of it. But if I come in, want a blessing, I participate in the worship, I'm serious about being in the house of God, because see, it's not about everybody else, it's about Him. I'm here for Him. Now, I love fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I love being around God's people, but it's not just about doing that. It's about being with the Lord, about worshiping Him. And serving Him. And I want God's divine favor upon our divine favor on Calvary. I want our church to be worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, how we handle our ministries, what we do. We want to approve things that are excellent. And listen, you know what excellent is? Excellence is, it's not being better than anybody else. It's not trying to be better in the church down the road or up the road or across the road. That's not our goal. Our goal as a church is to be the best we can be for God and do what God's given us to do. And so that was the request. He's saying, God, I want more of You, because if I have more of You, I know You better, I'm walking with You into all pleasing, then I'm going to have Your pleasure upon my life, Your divine favor, and You're going to prosper me spiritually, and it's going to move me from mediocrity, from ordinary living to extraordinary living. Friend, it's the difference between living life or living it more abundantly as a Christian. Then number two, get this. Not only is there the request for a blessed life, there is the receiving of the blessed life. Listen, there's no question God wants to bless your life. Do you realize that God would rather save people than judge people? See, people's got a wrong view of God. They get the idea that God's in heaven just waiting for somebody to mess up so He can zap them. I find in my Bible God's long-suffering. Now, let me tell you something. The long-suffering of God can run out. It can. But God doesn't want to judge me. God wants to bless me. He does. And throughout the Scriptures, we meet person after person that God has blessed. Can I just introduce you to a couple? I'm just going to work real quickly. You know our first parents, the very first thing that God said of them? The Bible says of Adam and Eve, Genesis 1:22, and God blessed them. You know what He did? He put His favor on them. That was before sin. It's before they disobeyed Him. He said He blessed them. Listen to Genesis 9:1. Noah lived in one of the worst times in the history of the world. Matter of fact, it was so bad, God said the end of all flesh has come. Do you realize in Genesis chapter number 6 that human history would have ended right there if it wasn't for a man named Noah? And the Bible says of Noah and his sons, listen to this, Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons. Genesis 22:17, and God said to Abraham, that in blessing I will bless thee. Genesis 24:1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Genesis 25:11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. In Numbers 6:24, the words the Israelites were to say in blessing one another was, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Psalm 67:1, God be merciful unto us and bless us. Now you know what in each case? In each case, God could bless their lives because they were living a life God could bless. They could receive the blessing because, now watch this, probably not good English, but I think it's good theology at this point, all right? God could bless them because they were blessable. Does that make sense? If I want God's blessing on my life, I need to be blessable. If I'm going to receive the... I say, God, I want you to bless me. But if I'm not blessable, God's not going to bless me. But if I'm blessable, God can bless me. So the question's not, does God want to bless me, but do I have a life that God can bless? Let me ask you a question. Right now, do you have a life God can bless? Probably if I took a survey of the church this morning, probably there's not a person in here that would not say in affirmative, I want God to bless me. Matter of fact, that's probably part of the reason why you're here. But the reality of it is, I need to quit asking, can God bless me or will God bless me? And I need to start asking the question, am I blessable? Do I have a life right now that God can bless? This word bless, I spent a lot of time studying the word bless because I really want to know what bless meant. Do you know that word bless comes from a Hebrew word that means to bend the knees or to kneel down? It was before it took on the phrases of bestowing honor and bestowing pleasure and favor and all of those kind of things. You know what the word had the idea of? Had the ideas of the bending of the knee when camels kneeled down to drink and rest. That's where it came from. That's that word. And the kneeling down, because see, it had a spiritual connotation to it. You see, if I'm not bowing before God, I'm not going to be blessed of God. See, young person, God's not going to bless your life and your future if you've got a stiff neck and you're resisting God and what He wants to do in your life. Adult, listen to me. God's not going to bless us the way we want Him to bless us if we're, as He says of Israel, a stiff-necked people. And we're not willing to bend the knee and bow before the God of heaven. I believe it pictures the bending of one's heart and life before God. Jabez was giving God control of his life. That's what he was doing. When he's saying, God, I want you to bless me, he's saying, God, you're in control. He's saying, God, I don't want what you want. I don't want what I want. I want what you want in my life and for my life. I believe a blessing from the Lord is when God does something supernatural and special and wonderful in our lives that only He can do. And Jabez doesn't specify the blessing. He doesn't name it. He just simply left it up to God to bless him in any way he saw fit. It was like Jabez, his life was like a blank check, and he said, now God, you fill in the amount. Whatever, wherever, whenever. God, here I am. I'm yours. Do with me as you please. I believe that's it right there. And friend, I'm going to tell you what, one of the reasons why it limits the blessing of God in our life is because that's not where we are. We have conditions. God, I'll do this if, or God, I'll do that if it fits into my plans, or it doesn't mess up what I want from my... No, Jabez didn't do that. He said, God, I want to go from ordinary to extraordinary. I want something different than what my name represents, which is sorrowful. I want a different kind of life. And God, listen, I don't know what really even what I need, but I'm going to just give you the blank check. And whatever it is, God, you just fill it in. Well, that's the right attitude. I think Romans says something about that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, based on all that God is and all that He's done for you in saving you and changing you and forgiving your sins, giving His life for you, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God said, that's just the reasonable, right thing to do for everything I've done in your life. They sung the song this morning, God's been good. Probably, if I was to take a survey this morning, everybody would write on their paper, God's been good in my life, God's been good in my life, God's been good in my life. And you would say, that, you know what, it is just right and reasonable for goodness of God in our lives for us to give our lives back to Him. That's just the right thing to do. It is. It's the right thing to do. And I believe the reason why we fail to experience the blessed life is because we as believers, listen, fail to give God that place in our lives. I believe that. And you say, preacher, you just don't understand. God can't bless anybody like me. God wouldn't bless anybody like me. I mean, preacher, you just don't know. You just don't understand. God will bless somebody else, but He won't bless me. God couldn't do anything great in my life. Well, I got good news for you because He can. He can. Would you hold your plate right here, sort of stick a pen right in there, or put your fingers there for a minute. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. All right, 1 Corinthians. That's all the way on the other side in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see the criteria of what God uses. You know God's got a criteria? And God said, here's the kind of people I use. And I guarantee you that probably all of us, that most of us, if not all of us, are going to fit right here in this criteria. Okay? And I want you to look at verse number 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse 26, Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what he says. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, it didn't say any. It just said not many. All right? Now, he said wise men after the flesh. That means they're wise in the ways of the world or wise in their own eyes. I believe there's a wisdom that comes from God. That's why he's talking about after the flesh. But he's saying, listen, people that promote themselves as the experts, God said, that's not the criteria. God said, it's not a matter of how smart you are, how bright you are, not how talented you are, how strong you are, or how noble you are in the sense of your birth. You know, if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth or elevated in society, that means I can use you. No, no, no. You're going to learn that it has nothing to do with how bright and talented you are, how rich and famous you are. That's not the criteria that God uses. You know why? Because if the rich, the famous, the bright and the talented, most often if God elevates them, you know what? They take the credit for it. I did it. Well, listen, the reality of it is, if anything good happens in our lives, God does it. And He gets the glory, right? All right, so let's look at the criteria. Look at verse 27. But God hath chosen, this is His plan, the foolish things of the world. That word foolish is what seems foolish to the world. Those things that the world would look on and say, well, that's foolish. Why? The foolish things. Notice he goes on, he talks about, in verse number 26, he said, he chose the foolish things the world confound the wise. Do you realize you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that God created the world in 6 literal days? How we got here. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. Matter of fact, there's men that's got PhD postal digger after their name, after postal digger after their name. I mean, all kinds of PhDs, and they don't know that. They could know it, but they don't want to know it. And they're wise after this world, after the flesh. But you know what? I'll just be honest with you. You take a couple farmers from Stokes and Surrey County, they probably straighten out the country pretty quick. What do y'all think? Solve some problems. Get some things done. God has chosen. Verse 27, the weak things, that's the feeble. Those with infirmities, frailties, the Jabezes. You know what? Moses had a speech impediment. David was a teenager. You know, we get the idea that Samson was some big old hulk of a man. Well, it wasn't. Because you know what? If he was a hulk of a man, everybody thinks Samson did it. Did all the great exploits rather than God. I believe he looked like just an ordinary, normal guy. He was God's weak, strong man. I thought about a young lady by the name of Fanny. Is blinded at 6 weeks of age because of the mistreatment of a man posed to be a doctor and instructed her family if they put a certain substance on her eyes that it would clear up the infection in her eyes instead of healing her eyes. It blinded her. Blinded her. Six weeks old, it blinded her. She don't even remember. She never even remembered seeing. She know what it was to see. You know, she could have went through life saying, boy, and through life saying, boy, it's all stacked against me, and no opportunity to live an extraordinary life, no opportunity to live even an ordinary life. I've been blinded by something happened to me that I had no control over. And she could have went through life just bemoaning the situation in life. She could be a Jabez in life. That's where Fanny could be. Yet God used Fanny Crosby to write more than 9,000 hymns and gospel songs such as Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. All the way my Savior leads me, I am Thine, O Lord. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Rescue the perishing. Tell me the story of Jesus in song after song after song. Although blind, she was the guest of 6 presidents. And she was a personal friend of President Grover Cleveland. Somebody asked her, said, Fanny, wouldn't you like to have your sight? And Fanny replied, she said, your eyes have seen. She said, but the first thing my eyes will see is the blessed face of my Savior Jesus. You see, friend, listen, Fanny was a Jabez. She could have went through life really with her circumstances stacked against her, thinking that life would be less than just to be sorrowful and burdened and difficult and hard. But oh, no, no. God took an ordinary or less than ordinary little girl or young lady and made her extraordinary, and she blessed people for now, since the 1800s and on, late 1800s and on since then. And you know what? We sing her songs today. She's still blessing us. I'd call that extraordinary. What about you? Familiar. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And what he's talking about is that word for base means common, ordinary, of low birth. Winston Churchill said, God must love the common people because he made so many of them. And you know what? God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things. The despised is those things that are esteemed as by the world, esteemed lightly by the world standards. The forgotten, things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And what he's saying is things that were never recognized, never mentioned, never heard of. Do you realize that there are men and women who've lived extraordinary lives, who've impacted their generation for God? And listen, you'll never read about, see them in the Smithsonian. You'll never read about them and hear about them in the halls of Congress. There's places in this world that Hollywood will never make a movie about them, or nobody will never write a book. But I'm going to tell you what, they're inscribed in heaven, and lives have been touched and changed and impacted in ways beyond anything we can imagine. And friend, can I tell you, God is not a respecter of persons, and He used them, and God can use you. Somebody said, it doesn't take much of a man to be used of God, it just takes all of him. And can I tell you, that day when Jabez was praying that prayer, God got all of him. Let me ask you a question, young man, young lady, adult man, adult lady. Does God have all of you? He was a surrendered man, I believe we could say. Bending of the knee, kneeled. God, he knew if he was going to receive the blessing, he needed to be a surrendered man. Here's the last thing. He was a faith-filled man. He not only asked God to bless him, but he believed God would bless him. You know how many times faith and prayer are connected in the Bible? How often do we pray, don't we believe God will answer the prayer, and then when He does, we're shocked that He did it. Wow, He answered my prayer. Well, that's normal Christian living. It's normal. Let me ask you a question. Are you with me? Is it normal if your children come to you that you want to give them good things? Is that normal? I mean, in your home, they come to you, it's a right request, good request, and you want to give them good things. I know at times they don't believe that, but it's true. You want to give them good things. We're going to tell you, God wants to do that in our lives. That's the God will answer prayer. And how I know that he was a believing man was it seen in the next request. He says that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Now, for God to enlarge his coast, that involved Jabez doing something. God would open the opportunity. God would open the door, but he was going to have to do something. He was asking God to give him some wider usefulness. And so Jabez left the place of prayer and stepped out with a foot of faith to claim the blessing. He was going to live in such a way that God would bless him. He was going to embrace what God... He didn't know what it was going to be. He begins to pray and he said, God, I'm letting you fill in the blank, but whatever it is, I believe you're going to answer it. And God did answer it, and he went out and he embraced it. He took the step of faith to embrace the blessing that God was going to put in front of him. And can I say this to us this morning? As we step into a new year, even tonight when I share the vision of our church, as we step into a new year, it may be that you need to take the next step of faith in your own life and claim the blessing of God. For some of you, that means you need to take the next step of faith and you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You know that God's been done with your heart. You know you need to be saved. You know there's an emptiness inside of you that your sins need to be forgiven. You know that Jesus has died for your sins, was buried and rose again. He's been working in your heart. And you know in your heart you need to be saved. Why don't you take the step of faith and embrace and trust Christ as Savior and get saved. Take that step of faith and let God give you the blessing of forgiven sins and life eternal. Eternal and becoming a child of God. See, that's what I'm talking about. Taking the step of faith and letting God bless you with salvation. For some of you, you need to take the next step of baptism. You've been saved, but you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And you know what? You're withholding the blessing of God in your life because you're being disobedient. It doesn't mean you're not saved, but it does mean that God can't bless me like He wants to because I've not obeyed Him by taking the step of faith and identifying myself with Him and following Him in believer's baptism. For others of you, it might mean you need to take the next step of faith in church membership. That you've sort of been holding back, but you know if God's going to bless you and use you the way God wants to bless you and use you, you're going to have to be a part of this church family for it to happen. God can use you to the fullest extent through the ministries of this church if you're not a part of it. It's that step of faith. You know that God knows nothing of a baptized believer that's not part of a local New Testament Bible-believing church like this one, united with it, and serving and functioning the way God designed it. And maybe that's the step of faith you need to take in the new year, and you need to join this church and get busy serving God, and that the blessing of belonging to a family of believers. It may be that the next step of faith for you is to start family devotions in your marriage and in your relationships, in your home, so that your family can draw closer together. And as you have time together with the Lord, He blesses your family. It may be an increased faithfulness in church attendance or reading your Bible or praying. It could be any number of things. Because with all of those things come the favor and the blessing of God. And it promotes me. It moves me forward. It moves me along the path of extraordinary living. It may be that the next step of faith for you is to begin sharing your faith, to take a soul winning class or a witnessing class, to begin to hand out a tract or begin to get involved in one of the visitation programs of our local church. Maybe it is that you need to share Him on the job or amongst your family. Listen, there's no greater joy and no greater blessing than being a witnessing Christian. You might need to take the next step of faith to determine you're going to be a blessing. Maybe you come into church saying, I want to get blessed. And maybe what God's saying, no, if you don't get blessed, I want you to start being a blesser. See, I've found when I try to be the blesser, I get blessed. When I try to encourage or help or be a blessing in somebody's life through a note, a phone call, a card, a visit, going by the hospital or nursing home or whatever it is, friend, or coming alongside somebody that's hurting and praying with them and encouraging them, I found while I've sought to be a blessing, I'm the one getting blessed. And maybe we need to get outside of ourselves today and start trying to be a blessing. Maybe you need to take the step of faith of making yourself available for God to use. See, everybody that God's ever used, it wasn't great ability, it was great availability. They said, God, here I am, you use me. Jabez didn't have anything to offer God. He had physical handicap, physical limitation. There were things. He could look at himself, God, I don't have a thing to offer you. Can I tell you something in all reality? There's none of us really have anything to offer God. But we can offer Him ourselves what we are. And what we have, and then let God bless that and make some extraordinary out of it. Maybe some you need to take the step of faith in learning to give to God biblically. Do you realize that God has given a special promise to those who give to Him faithfully and correctly? and biblically. You know what he said? He said, prove me now. Talking about the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know one of the reasons why I give to God? I give to God because He tells me to give to Him. I give to God because I love Him. I give to God to show Him, show His ownership of everything in my life as a good steward of what God's asked me to do. I give because I want to be a part of the work of God in moving this ministry forward, so that we're impacting our community and the world for the Savior, to see young people bust in and their lives change, to see families change, the work of God go forward. But you know another reason I give? So God will bless me. I can't expect God to bless my finances if I'm not honoring Him in my giving. And He said, when you do that, I'm going to pour through the windows of heaven. I don't give so I can get. I don't give in the expectation like put in, okay, God, I give you 10, now give me 1,000. I don't do it like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's blessing upon my hand, and God stretching stretching what I do have so that it meets the needs of life. See, God wants to bless you today. The question is, are you blessable? Are you willing to take the next step of faith? See, I can request the blessing, Lord, that You would bless me indeed. But I think Jabez understood something. He understood within that word bless, that there was the receiving of the blessing, and that involved a surrendered heart and obedient life of faith, of taking the steps of faith that God led him to take. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to take the next step of faith in your life? Are you willing to step down here and say, God, all that I am, all that I have? Are you willing to say, God, I don't know what it is that You have for me, but I want it, and I'm ready to step out by faith. Maybe it's getting back involved in ministry. I mean, we got 40 of them. We got a place for everybody. Maybe it's in your Sunday school class. Maybe it's in that children's church. Maybe it's in your bus ride. I don't know what it is. But maybe it's taking a step of faith into the choir. Or stepping of faith in a different area. Or just making yourself available. Here I am, Pastor. I just want to serve God. That's my next step. I'm saved. I'm baptized. I'm a part of this church. But I've just not been serving like I ought to. That's my step of faith. Then you need to take it. Are you willing to take the step of faith that God might bless you indeed in your life? Because God wants to bless you. And a blessed life is an extraordinary life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over the building. Nobody's looking around. In the quietness of this invitation, I just want to share some things with you very quickly, if I could. Do you want to be blessed of God? Do you have a life that God can bless? Is there a step of faith you need to take? Maybe this morning your step of faith is knowing Christ as Savior. Knowing for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Can I ask you that question? Do you know right now if you died that heaven would be your home? Do you have that assurance? It's a wonderful assurance. What a blessing to know that when I lay my head down at night, I don't have to worry if I don't wake up in the morning. I'm okay. I'm saved. I'm in Him. Do you have that assurance? Do you? By the way, if you do have that assurance, would you just slip your hand up as a testimony to God? Preacher, I know if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Just slipping your hand up, giving a testimony of that. Thank you. You can put them down. It may be, I didn't look at everybody's hand, but it may be that you couldn't lift your hand. Thank you for being honest. And maybe you're saying, preacher, I don't know if I died, if I go to heaven, but I sure would like to. I sure would like to know. I'd like to have that assurance in my life. Can I tell you, we love you and you're among friends and you can have that today, that blessing today. If you're the person that says, preacher, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you slip up your hand about shoulder high where I could see it so I could pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you so much. I see that hand. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Is there another preacher? If I died right now, I don't know that heaven would be my home, but I sure would like to know it. Pray for me. I'm not sure that heaven would be my home, but I sure would want it to be. Anybody else, you'll just be honest this morning. I want to know for sure that heaven's my home. In a moment, we're going to give an invitation. Nobody's going to be looking. Every eye will be bowed. Every head will be closed. Excuse me. Every head will be bowed and every eye will be closed. Nobody's going to be looking. And we're going to invite you to come. I'll be at the front. And there'll be men at each of these aisles. And we'll be here to help you. And if you'll just come to us and not just come to the altar, but come to us and say, I'm not sure if you're a lady or a lady with a man with a man, in a private room answering your questions, showing you right out of the Bible how that blessing can be yours today, the blessing of salvation. And I'm inviting you to come. Would you do that? Don't wait. Don't put it off. God's been dealing with your heart. Why don't you make today the day that you experience that blessing in your life? Is there others that you say, preacher, I need to join this church? I know I'm saved and I'm baptized, but I've not talked with anybody about membership, and I know that that's the next step I need to take for God to move me forward in the blessing of His life. Maybe the other areas I've talked to about serving or giving or sharing your witness or whatever, God's spoken to your heart in those areas and you need to come. I'm going to invite you to slip out and come because God wants to bless your life. Don't be the reason He can't bless you because you're not willing to take that step of faith. I want you to take that step. Father, take the message. Bless it in every heart, use it in every heart and life today. God, You want to bless us. Help us, Lord, like Jabez, to take the step of faith so that You can bless us. Lord, I pray for those that lifted their hand, they're not saved. I pray they would come and experience the blessing of salvation. Others maybe need to come to experience the blessing of baptism or more church membership or serving You or maybe other areas of their life, Lord. Or maybe some are just saying, God, I want my life to be a life that can be blessed. Or maybe they just want to surrender, Lord, and be that blank check so that they can know Your blessing upon their life today. I pray that people won't wait, won't put it off. They'll be the first to respond as You've dealt with their heart today. In Jesus' name I pray. As we stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, God's spoken to your heart. You say, preacher, I need to take that step.